Amen. You can have a seat. Last week we began a new series of lessons that I'm calling Thrive Emotionally, and it's part of sort of a year-long project where we're thinking about this word thrive and how we thrive in various areas of our lives, whether it's in our work or with our emotions and relationships, all kinds of things in our lives. And we're thinking about thriving being participating in what God is doing in the world. So God has given us emotion. He has made us emotional beings. So how do we allow those emotions to influence us in the right ways rather than the wrong ways? How do we allow that to affect us in a way that God would want those emotions to affect us? And what we know is that our emotions are powerful. I mean, we know that they can really sort of lead us in directions that are really good and sometimes lead us in directions that are really bad. And sometimes we feel those things so strongly that we almost want to just like press those emotions down, pretend like they're not there, and move on with life, but that just doesn't work, does it? So often they come back even stronger when we try to minimize them. So how do we use them in a way that pleases God? Now, our emotions, man, we can get strong feelings about lots of things. We might watch the news in the evening and be really encouraged or be really mad, right? I mean, it just depends on where we stand politically. We might read a book and it gives us some strong emotions. Hear a song that brings back memories and suddenly we have strong emotions. We can watch a television show. I can remember when I was a kid and I'd be at my grandparents' house and my grandfather, who never talked about emotion at all, would watch the sappiest TV program and be crying by the end, and it would completely embarrass me, and now I'm the same way, and I hate it, okay? So we feel those things in lots of ways. Now, one of the strongest ways that we often feel emotion is when it has to do with people that we really love, the people who are the closest to us. Those are the people who can, and they can bring us great joy and pride and encouragement and all the good things in life. And sometimes when they say and do stuff that hurts, it can bring a lot of pain. And it can bring sadness and resentment, maybe, the desire for revenge, all kinds of things that those relationships can bring. And the truth is, if we have a long-term relationship, one of those relationships that lasts for decades, marriage, parenting, our own parents, long-term friends, I mean, sooner or later we're going to feel the really good things, and then there's going to be some times when we experience some really hard things in those relationships as well, because none of us are perfect. We mess stuff up. Sometimes unintentionally we say the wrong thing, do the wrong thing, and it really makes someone feel bad. It makes us feel bad when other people do that to us. And we know that that can lead to some dark places, because we can sort of want them to feel the same kind of pain that we do. We can want to get back at them. We can want them to really hurt. And we know that none of that is good for us or them. It's certainly not good for the relationship. So what do we do with that? Today I want us to think about that a little bit. And to do that, we're going to turn to 1 Peter, which is the book we're sort of working through as we spend this time thinking about our emotions. And last week we were in chapter 1. Today I want us to turn to chapter 3. Now, in 1 Peter chapter 3, we have Peter talking to these Christians who are struggling with some emotional stuff, right? They're being persecuted. But he's also talking about family life. And so he gives us what we call a household code. And Paul does this in some of his letters. James does this in his letter. And in fact, it's not just restricted to the New Testament. We have other ancient letters outside the Bible where people sort of say, okay, this is the way that husbands should treat wives, wives should treat husbands, kids should treat their parents, and on it goes. It addresses everyone in the household. So he does that, and then he turns to some more general instruction about how relationships should work. And we pick that up in 1 Peter 3, verse 8. He says this, "Finally, all of you, be like-minded, be sympathetic, love one another, be compassionate and humble." So five things that he lays out that we need in a healthy relationship. And so he begins with saying you need to be like-minded. Now, what does that mean? Is he saying, hey, you need to all think the same thing at the same time, sort of like robots? Well, no, I don't think that's what he's saying, because that's just not real. What he is saying, I think, is that we as followers of Jesus Christ should all have the same beginning point and the same desire. What we want is for the church to be healthy and relationships in the church to be healthy. What we want is to follow Jesus well. And so we start with Jesus. We have the same goal. Getting there may look different. We may have strong feelings about that, strong opinions. But ultimately, we're thinking the same because we want the same thing in the end. So be like-minded in that way. Be sympathetic. One of the keys to healthy relationships is to be able to look at a situation, especially with someone we love, and think, okay, how would I feel if I was going through that? What kind of feelings is my spouse, my kids, my parents, what are they feeling in this moment? We may not be able to read their minds, oftentimes we can't, but at least the effort to try to understand how they're feeling, what they're going through, is really important. Now, it gives us five things, and the one right in the middle, and oftentimes in ancient literature, the middle was the most important. He says, love one another. Now, love for the early Christians was like the signature Christian virtue. And this, again, is the self-giving, self-sacrificing kind of love that Christians began to use that word in ways that had never been used before, and it became popular during the time of the growth of the church. Christians were known for loving one another, and Peter is telling them everything else, what comes before and what comes after, grows out of your love for one another. So relationships need to be grounded in this sacrificing kind of love if they're going to be healthy in the other ways that he's already talked about, like-minded and sympathetic. And then he says we need to have compassion. We need to be compassionate. Now, in my mind, compassion can oftentimes grow out of sympathy, right? We see what someone is going through. We recognize maybe how they're feeling about it. And because we recognize those feelings and through our love, we do something about it. Compassion is about action. It's really not just, hey, feel like I should do something, but actually doing something to deal with whatever problem, physical, emotional, spiritual, that someone is going through. So we have sympathy, and then we act on that sympathy. That's compassion. And then he says humility. And that's true for every relationship. When we recognize that, hey, I'm not perfect in this relationship, I keep messing it up, I'm imperfect, I have strengths, but I also have weaknesses, that's setting us up in the right place to have a healthy relationship. So we have this general teaching about healthy relationships, which I think speaks to what happens when things go wrong, but verse 9 addresses that more directly. He says this, "Do not repay evil with evil or insult with insult. On the contrary, repay evil with blessing, because to this you were called, so that you may inherit a blessing." Now, I don't know about you, but when someone does something evil, maybe just they do evil, but especially if it's directed toward me, and certainly if someone insults me, my first response is not blessing. Right? I mean, that's not, we go, oh, well, that I think I'm going to say a blessing over them just now. No. I mean, it might be anger. It might be hurt. It might create sadness. And it might make us want to strike back. So that it's not blessing, but we want to respond to insult with insult. Well, if they think that about me, let me tell you about them. Let's talk about it. That's not the way we normally think. Let me bless this person who has done evil. Let me bless this person who has insulted me. But Peter says, you know, as followers of Jesus, that's what we're called to do. When someone does evil, when someone insults us, we respond with blessing. And the thing is, I don't think Peter came up with that himself. I think that's something that he learned from spending 3 years listening to Jesus. Because I go back to Luke chapter 6, and this is what Jesus says in verses 27 and 28. "But to you who are listening, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you." That's about like returning evil and insult with blessing. "Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who mistreat you." It sounds very much like what Peter says. I think he is echoing Jesus here. And it may not be our natural first response, but it is exactly what Jesus has called us to do, to respond to evil and to insult with blessing. Now, when I hear both Peter and Jesus talk like that, I think of a word that doesn't show up in either one of those passages. And it's the word forgiveness. Because I don't know that we can get to giving blessing instead of insult. I don't know that we can get to showing love for enemies without some forgiveness. You know, Jesus was known for saying, treat others like you want to be treated, love your neighbor. But there were other people in the ancient world who taught just that. Lots of people said, love your neighbor, and certainly it's in the Old Testament. But when Jesus says, love your enemies, he doesn't sound like anybody else in the ancient world. This sets him apart from everyone else. For Jesus to say, yeah, you're going to have people in your life that cause you trouble. And what I want you to do for those people is love them. What I want you to do for those people is bless them. Well, that's a hard teaching because it goes against so much of the way the world works and so much of how we sort of would naturally respond to both evil and insult. So what's our lesson? I think it's this. It's all about forgiveness. Forgiveness creates space for healing. And I think it does. You know, if we sort of spend time wallowing in that hatred and desire for revenge, that only takes us to dark places. But when we choose forgiveness, it gives us an opportunity to pursue healing. And as I thought about forgiveness, I actually got an email just like Friday that talked about forgiveness. And I was like, that is a really good definition for us. So this is what it said. It said, forgiveness is replacing ill will with goodwill to those who have wronged us. This means desiring the flourishing of the offender, but without necessarily forgetting or forgoing justice. And I think that's right on. Because our natural response is respond to evil with evil, respond to insult with insult. That's ill will. And instead of that, forgiving is saying, you know what, that's not the path I'm going to take. I'm going to respond with goodwill, with blessing. And so when we choose to forgive, we're choosing to let go of the hatred that can fester within us. I mean, it can really grow as we think about what the other person did. We sort of relive those moments where they said what they said, did what they did. We found out what they did. We feel that. And man, it can go to some ugly thoughts about that person, even if it's a person that we deeply care about. And forgiving is saying, you know what, I'm not going to live there. I'm not going to live with that hatred. And I'm not going to live with the desire for revenge. I'm not going to strike back at that. I'm not going to live with this grudge against someone. You know, I read this article this week about two tortoises. They're like 120 years old. And decades ago, one of these tortoises tried to steal the food of the other one. And so every day for about 3 minutes, they fight. Every single day for decades, okay? We don't want to be like that because we can. I mean, maybe we don't actually, you know, have this angry fight with someone every day, but sometimes we do it in our heads. Sometimes we imagine, like, if we could really let loose, like, this is what I would say to that person. And we don't actually, like, take revenge, but we think about what it would be like if we did. And it's not good for us. And so when we choose to forgive, we are releasing that. And we're saying, you know what? I'm going to honor this person, and I'm going to honor myself as one who is created in the image of God. So the person who has offended me, is not defined by their evil action, by their insult, by their sin. And I am not defined only by my pain. There is more to them than this moment or even this pattern of sin, and there is more to me than the pain I'm experiencing. And I'm going to recognize that God created that person in his image, and God loves that person, and God created me in his image, and he loves me as well. And that's the life I'm going to pursue. Now, you know, the second half of that definition I read you goes like this. This means desiring the flourishing of the offender, but without necessarily forgetting or forgoing justice. I mean, there may be justice that the other person has to face. That doesn't mean we have to take revenge, but it doesn't mean that we have to, you know, we have to return to the pain. It doesn't mean that because I've chosen to forgive that person, I've given up the ill will and replaced it with goodwill. I'm giving blessing instead of cursing. Instead of that, I'm responding in the right way, but I don't have to walk back into the situation and allow myself to be hurt over and over again. And it may be that there's someone in your life that you can see the pattern. And every time you get tied up with that person, you end up hurting. And you may have to say, you know what? I'm not going back there again. I'm not going to forget what I've been through. Even though I've forgiven, I want them to be well. I want them to heal. I'm not putting myself back in that position. Forgiveness doesn't mean we have to be hurt over and over and over again. Sometimes we have to remove ourselves from that environment. Now, I think that's most of the time is that's the exception. More often, we want to find healing with that person. Maybe we want to find restoration. It might be like restoration, or it might be that, you know what, we can't go back to what once was, but there is a place that we can get to in the future that is better than where we are today. And might even be better than where we've ever been, but you know what, it's going to take some work. A lot of times that doesn't happen today or tomorrow. That happens a month, a year, maybe a decade from now. It's hard work. Forgiveness is hard work. But when we choose to forgive, part of what we're doing is saying, you know what? I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. And there is no better example of someone who chose to forgive than Jesus himself. Because you see, Jesus went to the cross when I did not deserve him to go. What I deserved was punishment. What I deserved was death. And instead of that, Jesus took it all on himself. He responded to my evil with his blessing. And he went to the cross and paid the price for my sin. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, Scripture says. So when I choose that same path, when I say, you know what, and this person has caused me all kinds of trouble and I'm still hurting from it, but I'm going to choose forgiveness as a path to healing, what we're saying is, you know what, I really do want to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. Because being a disciple of Jesus means we're becoming more and more like him. And when we choose forgiveness, we're becoming more like Jesus. And when we choose forgiveness, we're choosing the path of thriving. Let's pray together. God, forgiveness is hard. Easy to talk about. Easy to say that other people should forgive. Hard for us to do. But God, we pray that you'll help us to respond to cursing and evil with blessing as Jesus did. Help us to be more and more like Christ in that. God, help us to grow in him. Help us to be people who forgive. I pray all that in Jesus' name. Amen.